6 a.m. day after Christmas.
Whoever just laughed saved it, because I was laid back in the chair in a trance. I was ready to play this thing for like the whole way through, and it's 4 minutes and 30 seconds. But so thank God someone saved it. I leaned back in the chair. It was over. I don't know why, because I hate this song. I don't know why that is. I hate this show because it makes me like certain things that I just don't want to like. It's ridiculous.
She's a brick and I'm...
Oh, God. Oh, <that's... laughs>
Undead Spock.
Undead.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Undead. Did you miss me? I doubt it, but I'm here.
It's been a long time, man. How long has it been?
I don't know.
Since
Jill.
That was like months ago.
Well, fuck, that's available.
That was like a year. That was like last year sometime. I don't know.
Fuck you.
That was like a long time ago. Super long time ago.
All right. I want to challenge you right now.
Oh, dude, who are you challenging?
You.
Oh, why are you going to challenge me? God damn it.
Here, the bet is right. Next year.
Okay.
So everybody's into this West Virginia, Virginia Tech game.
All right.
If West Virginia wins, no more hip-hop halftime.
He just raised the fucking stakes, Tom. Danny, are you game?
That's not fair, man, because I lost my quarterback. He's decided to go to the NFL. That's not really fair. I don't even know what I'm going into that game with. All right. I'll tell you.
We'll make it full-fledged forever. 6 weeks.
Ooh.
All right, let's do it.
6 weeks. Metal,
you know, halftime. You know what really sucks is this means there's so many people rooting against my team. And see, this starts affect when horror crosses over and starts to affect my sports teams. That's when I like have to draw the line. Like, man, this is not cool. This is not. I don't want to hate my sports teams, but they're all going to be rooting against
the Battle of Virginia's here.
Yeah, we're the better Virginia. We're the better Virginia. I don't care that you guys
beat Virginia Commonwealth in basketball not too long ago.
Man, who the hell is Virginia Commonwealth? Who the fuck is that?
Number 6 team in the country.
Nah, it's a rest stop down the road. No, I like that college. Don't get me wrong. The VCU Rams are cool, but yeah, you beat them. Whatever.
Beat Baylor too.
I mean, fuck it. All right.
Okay. Now, enough said. Enough sports talk. Sorry, Duncan. I had to get that out there.
I'm glad you're back.
Oh no, I was in because you raised the stakes. I could hear how uncomfortable Danny was there. He was like,
"Oh God, that's fine. I'll take it. I don't have
that." What happens when sports come into the equation? Hard bets get put down.
Yeah,
there could be 6 weeks of metal halftime.
Man, I like these bets. Let's do one for the Super Bowl too. Someone think of a cool bet. I want to do another bet. I like this. Undead's got me
with
in the
me or with Duncan or with the listeners. What are we doing here? I'm betting, motherfucker. Bet,
everybody. I don't
remember that Fred Flintstone episode?
Fred Flintstone.
Anybody remember Fred Flintstone?
Yeah, of course I remember Fred Flintstone, but what we did an episode about Fred Flintstone?
No, we didn't do it.
Okay, I was like...
Back in the day, when he said bet, he'd go bet, and he'd go nuts. That's just what I remember. I'm old, motherfucker, leave me alone.
I watch that stuff. I mean, are you kidding me? I watch the Flintstones and the Jetsons, and, you know, Captain Caveman and all that shit. I know.
What about the Snorks?
Yeah, I watch the motherfucking snorks with their little straws in their head. I like that shit.
I've never heard of that before.
You don't know the snorks?
No.
It looks like limp dicks.
I never made this way over here.
They got those...
dicks in their heads.
They got straws. It looks like a straw. It doesn't look like a dick. It looks like a straw.
Somebody will have
the cartoon is basically Smurfs underwater. That's all you really need to know.
They're not as bad as Smurfs.
I'm not familiar with that one.
You're not familiar with the Smurfs either?
Oh, we had the Smurfs over here. Yeah,
Gargamel and shit and that cat.
Yep.
Motherfucking Azrael, or whatever that cat's name was. I think
like we had quite a lot of American cartoons over here, but we had like a whole world of British cartoons.
Man, you got...
I would put money that never made its way over to America. So.
You got that Mickey Mouse
shit? Wombles.
The Wombles.
Wombles.
Yeah,
Wombles.
I know the Wombles, man. That finale. What a fucking finale.
You're a lying bastard.
I love the Wombles.
Did they find out shut JR?
It's a Wombles.
It's true as Dark's 10 list.
Yeah.
I know the song.
Yeah.
I bet you didn't have
Gummy bears, of course.
I remember. No, we had gummy bears. That was like Disney, wasn't it?
I think it was Disney, yeah.
I think it, or it was acquired by Disney. What else did we have over here?
He-Man is the shit.
He-Man was cool. I like that.
We had loads. There'll be loads that were over here that were not over there, and vice versa.
See the snorks. Look, Darren. Thank you, Darren. Darren posted it. Look at the snorks, man. It looks more like a straw. I mean, that's like a straw. It's like a strawberry shake, and this guy's a banana shake.
I have
shake.
Seen that before.
Yeah, see, the snorks.
I've seen that before. I don't think I ever watched it, but I have seen that before.
I mean, I couldn't tell you about an episode, but I remember it. I remember, I'm sure I watched it at some point. You guys remember those motherfuckers on the dinosaurs? They had like all these robots built. They had all these no not those dinosaurs, the ones that they had robots. They had like all this robotic shit built on the dinosaurs, and they were fighting like these ant people, and there's like laser guns built on like the brontosaurus, and like, you guys don't know what I'm talking about.
That's ringing a bell as well, actually.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember what the fuck it was called, but there was like dinosaurs and ant people and something else. I don't know.
You guys remember the Visionaries? Visionaries, magical powers, they fight.
Oh, with the things on their chest?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yes, I remember that shit.
They were fucking amazing. Oh, I used to love the Visionaries.
That was awesome.
Oh, my God. Okay. Somebody talk about something else.
Oh, come on.
Come on, man.
Welcome to the Midnight Cartoon Show.
This is the Midnight Cartoon Show. Mark, what? It is going to be soon once Rick and Morty actually does start.
Motherfuckers with their fake fucking news.
Was it?
Fake
what's
news.
Oh, the fake news.
We live
news
in the
bullshit.
World of fucking fake news. It's not, apparently, it's March. Unconfirmed March.
March. Bullshit.
Which apparently ties in with what Mr. Poopy Pants said at the end.
Oh, yeah. Fuck him, though. He's fucking.
I like Mr. Poopy Pants.
Mr. Poopy Pants.
Mr. I thought it was Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Oh, Mr. Poopy Butthole. What's Mr. Poopy Pants? Is that that movie that Dark wants to see?
That's the Dark.
Mr. Poopy Butthole. Danny's movie. Right for once.
Hopefully that comes out in March, because if it doesn't, they're not going to put it out during summer, and it's going to get bumped to, like, October, because most of the time you just don't put new shows out in the summer because people won't watch them.
October, unless Danny loses his bet, and it'll be called Rocktober. See what I did there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's already got there's already some memes going on about Virginia Tech and West Virginia.
Well, I'm mouthing my heritage.
This is like a joke I would make.
It is like a joke.
Yeah, well, I was kind of waiting for you. That's your job this year. That's your New Year's resolution. We established this. You're supposed to come up with horrible bad jokes, and we're all supposed to go, oh, no, Mark.
Yeah, you haven't done it yet this episode.
And he's not done it yet.
Lay it down,
he's
Mark.
He's saving up the good ones. Early.
It is early. No, it's not, actually. It's 10 minutes in. I mean, that's unordinary. That's out of the ordinary, Mark. Should have done it by now.
Yes, do it.
Well, he did the deer in headlights,
so
that makes up for
back.
It. I am too.
Right, the first question we need to ask him, because he's not been here for a while.
Oh, God.
Undead, I worked out roughly that I bought about 250 Blu-rays in 2016. Now, knowing that in 2015 you purchased about 1,000 Blu-rays, did you beat that total? Did you reach about the same in 2016, or was that?
Let me look
less?
At my app. Give me Blu-rays new. What'd you say?
Yeah, I think you had about 1,000 in 2015, which like made our eyes water.
Yeah, I'm only up to 1,161.
Oh, right, there you go.
So 161, you got me.
Yay! I don't know why I'm celebrating, because I've watched none of them.
I don't even think I can name that many fucking movies.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can, Mark.
1,000, 1,100 of them?
Yeah,
you can. Now, Mark, come on. Mark, you don't have enough faith in yourself, buddy.
I can't even like visual. I can't even have like a visual of like what 1,000 fucking Blu-rays looks like.
I'll send you a picture.
I mean,
are they on shelves or?
Oh yeah.
Jesus. Mark, your imagination is worse than Dr. Dark. Wait, you can't imagine 1,000 DVDs on a shelf. I mean,
they're on the shelf and they're organized according to Arrow and Scream Factory.
Oh, you're my hero right now. I love you even more than I did before.
I mean, Mark. Did you ever watch DuckTales? You know that big motherfucking thing of money that Uncle Scrooge is jumping in? Just imagine, like, that's full
of coins with Blu-rays.
Yeah, they're Blu-rays, and, you know, Undead's just like swimming through
swimming
that
in them.
It's like a mystery here in the Park.
Sorry. You know, it's coming back. That show's coming back.
Sorry.
They're bringing that show back.
It was a mystery, wasn't it? Or was it Life was like a hurricane?
Here we are! Rock you like a hurricane!
I'm just getting myself for our 6 weeks of metal. Metal!
Scorpions is not metal.
What?
Scorpions is not metal.
Oh, it
was when it came out.
No.
Oh, jeez, look at this. Look at this.
That's hard rock.
Here it goes.
The Scorpions. It came out.
Battle for the Scorpions.
Here we are! Rock you like a hurricane!
It does sound pretty metal to me, man. I don't know.
Oh, Russell C. it's a Maury one. Not a Maury.
I know, he's attacking. Oh, my God.
He's doing one of the parental test result things, and he's saying, you said Virginia Tech could win the NCAA National Championship. The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
It's because Michael Vick didn't come back. It's because Michael Vick didn't come back. We would have beaten Florida State.
It was yours, man. It was yours.
It was years ago. But this was years ago. That's, you know, we'll get back there at some point, maybe.
It's a new day.
It's a new day. New horizon. God damn it.
What the fuck is a Hokie anyways?
What is a Mountaineer? I mean, I've seen Wrong Turn, but is that what a Mountaineer is? What the fuck is a Mountaineer?
Yeah, that's exactly what they are.
I know. That's creepy. I mean, I'd rather be a big fat chicken bird or whatever the hell the Hokie is. I'd rather be that. I don't know what it is. It's just cool. It's just cool.
It's cool.
It's just cool. I don't know how to explain it. All right. I also like a racist team like the Redskins. I can't really explain, you know, where my loyalties lie.
Mark.
Yes.
Are they speaking a foreign language?
I'm just going to stare at the floor for a minute.
So glad.
Are they still speaking American?
I'm so glad I'm dead.
Thought about like counting my pubes for a little while.
Oh, fucking hell, Mark.
One's in your mouth or one's on average?
Oh. That's endless. Oh, he can't
sorry.
Even... Here, Mark, try to imagine 1,000 pubes in your mouth. Can you do that with your imagination?
That's a lot of pubes.
I bet you can imagine it, though. You're like, I don't have to.
I'll sure try if you really want me to.
No, you know.
Imagine that shit that was on last week.
Mark, you won't even rap for us. I don't want you to choke on your own pubes. All right, that is ridiculous. Get your
don't
priorities
do it, Mark.
Together.
Don't do it. Step away from the pubes.
Why do you have a bundle of pubes like that? I mean, do you have 1,000 pubes growing at one time, Mark? Do you have like a field that runs like all the way up to your nips?
A field in England?
I mean, I invented my life savings into the pube fields. It's not going well.
Nah, I don't think they, I'm sure they don't sell so well.
Nope. It's a horrible pube market right now. People used to buy the shit out of them, but not anymore.
I'm getting horrible cotton mouth.
You guys, why I mean smoke anything?
Well, Mark, you know, he openly smokes on the show now, if you didn't know Undead. Couple
no,
episodes
I don't.
Ago,
I don't know what you're talking about.
He was like, fuck everyone. And he's like, and he's like smoking on the show.
You're mistaken for somebody, I believe.
Meow, meow. No, I'm not. I'm not mistaken. You were doing
like, literally, like, I wasn't there for that show, but I did hear the playback. And you did at one point. You were like, Mark, are you still with me? And it was like, don't worry about a thing. Definitely.
Just like, Buffalo Soldier. Mark, we were talking about horror movies.
Yeah, Mark like, was. He was hot as a kite. He was just like,
he's a liar. Don't believe anything he says, especially you, Jeff.
Everyone's heard the recording. Jeff's heard the recording. He has turned that in.
It's not on the recording. I guarantee you that.
It is on the recording now.
I was really drunk. I was drinking whiskey that night.
Yeah, and you're underage. You can't be doing that. So that's illegal anyways.
Yeah, I saw Mark posted a photo of him going to a wedding, and he looked like a 12-year-old who had stolen like some sort of – had stolen basically like a fake mustache and stuck it on his face. Like literally, you did not look like the same person. I kind of started
– When you originally posted that, I took it as a compliment, but now I'm not so sure.
You were,
oh, no,
you were
a
very dapper
12-year-old. It did make me feel a wee bit weird though because you did look about 12-year-olds with a fake mustache, which means that the erection I got makes me a pedophile.
Oh.
Dr. Doc's not here, so someone has to fill in.
We've got a lot of pedos on this show. It's really weird. Who knew we'd all like gather together? You guys would all gather together.
Sexual harassment, panda.
Oh, God.
Where is Dr. Doc? See, if he doesn't show up for this show this week, I will fucking hunt him down. I will hunt him down. I will come to his house, and I will beat him up in front of his family.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And friend.
That would be awesome. I think.
Just want to make fun of him because he hasn't watched any of the movies he's talking about.
He's
oh,
maybe
can't
that's
wait
where he's
to come
at.
On and say he's not watched them though.
Maybe that's where he's at.
You
maybe
know, I can't wait.
Maybe
I know it.
Maybe he's watching the movies. I don't know. I don't know. Does anyone heard from
right
him
now?
At all? Has anyone heard from the guy? Does anyone know anything? I don't know.
No, not in a couple of days.
Yeah, actually, it has been a couple of days. I wonder what's going on. I don't know. Should we worry? Should we call him? Nah.
He hasn't run foul of the law, has he?
So what happens if he... Yeah, what happens if some... Oh my.
Moving on!
You know who...
Guess who won't be on the show next week? Duncan!
No.
Edit.
Oh, you know, it sucks because, like, Deandra was all queued up and ready. We gave her a new voice now. But Dr. Dark's not here, and neither is Smoke, so it's, you know, it's kind of counterproductive. But Deandra, go ahead and say what you have to say, because Undead hasn't heard you yet, so you can speak to us.
Hello, everyone. Hello, listeners. Hello, Danny. Hello, Duncan. Hello, Mark. Hello, Smoke. Hello, Undead. And hello, Dr. Dark. I calculate a total of 7 new blister-like abrasions on your palm from frequent masturbation this week. Or, in your case, it is more like pulling your boy clit. Ha ha ha. I am funny.
She's great. Deandra, you're amazing.
Deandra's accent has now changed to something a bit more neutral. She no longer sounds like a Transformer Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, we figured we had
like
to change
it. She did last week.
Yeah,
she totally said like Mrs. Doubtfire.
She still had a couple bugs last week. You know, at least she wasn't going to like porn sites and stuff. I mean, ours is a little more... upgraded.
Russell C says Smoke's never here. This is true.
This is true.
He may be here next week. And because he loves you all, listeners, he has submitted to me his top 10 horror movies of 2016 list. And I'm just going to say there are a couple of titles on here that will infuriate everyone.
That kind of worries me then, because I hope they're not on my list.
I cannot wait. He's given us one-liners as well. Some of the one-liners are designed to infuriate you.
Oh my god, we gotta hurry up.
It
will
almost be like Smoke was on the show.
When can we start this? All right, it's 10, so I mean,
we've got to spill your guts, don't we?
We gotta spill our guts. All right, let's do it, Mark. Mark, where's the sounder, Mark? Mark.
Mark. Right Mark. About here. Or here. Check your
candy. Mark, don't play the old. Oh, Jesus. We made the new one, but
Mark
messed it up, so we just have to go with that one. We'll wait till next week to play that. The new one. It's.
Whatever.
Super cool. It's awesome.
Who's up first, Danny? Who's up first?
I know who's up first, because we.
Get off my lawn.
It's alive!
I kick ass for the Lord!
The undead.
Phew, it's good to hear that.
It felt great to hear that. Mostly because I ripped my shirt open, rubbed myself in baby oil, and Dake Humpty Air while playing saxophone during that small segment there. It was amazing. It's all in the hips. It's
super
all
hot.
In the hips.
Super hot. That's cool. Undead, Mark, what are the questions for Undead?
I'm looking for them. Where the fuck are they?
Oh my god, you are too violent in 2017.
25 minutes worth of memes. Did you do something?
Darren
I don't
posted a thing saying, do we have guts? And then Danny made that the official guts.
It might be.
Where the hell is it?
It's probably pinned to the top, Mark, to make it easy for you to find.
Oh, for fuck's sake. You can't see that on mobile, and I'm using my phone.
If you
Smoke
click...
loves Undead Cinder.
Yeah, if you're on the mobile, you can click something to see an unpinned post. Do you need me to unpin it for you, Mark?
All right, I got it. Okay, I got it. All right. So, first question from Darren. Which is the more surprising to have been shafted at the Golden Globes, Westworld or Stranger Things?
Ooh, Undead.
Both.
This is a great question, because, yeah, both. What the fuck?
Well, the competition they had. I mean, what's fuck? What won everything on the TV shows? I can't remember. The only thing I remember is Meryl Streep kicking ass. Is about the only thing I remember that whole thing.
I love how you're just baiting Smoke.
Say it.
Fuck Trump.
Oh, goodness gracious.
There it is. Goodness there gracious. Is my answer. Fuck Trump.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Anyways, hi guys.
Next question. Saddest celebrity death of 2016, also from Darren.
Has anyone seen the ice pube yet that Russell posted?
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Actually hilarious.
For me, it was the mother-daughter combination of Debbie Reynolds and Princess Leia.
Mm. good answer.
Yeah, nobody wants to say anything to sound like a dick.
That's just nothing funny there.
Yeah, no.
Nah. Next question. Was there a movie this year you wish you could remove from your memory because of how much it sucked? And was there one you wish you could watch again for the first time?
Yes and yes.
I'm messed undead, man, honestly. It's
all right. He answered the question.
Yeah, well, that's a loaded question because I want to talk about both those movies.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they're both, one's on the list and one of them I got for smoke. So.
Well, we're not doing worst of list, so yeah.
It's not really a worst of list, but it's a movie that Smoke would love.
And may already be on his list.
And you wish you could unwatch it?
Yes.
All right.
And it has to do
Smoke may have liked it.
Kevin Smith. Maybe the director. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh
that.
No, I don't think that is on his list actually.
Oh god.
And it might have to rhyme with yoga hosers.
Spoiler alert: it's not on my list because I didn't fucking see it.
Spoiler alert: don't fucking watch it. It's shite.
It probably won't. I didn't have time for good movies. There's going to be a few really glaring omissions from my list that we'll get to. But last question: what's worse,
Smoke
maximum?
That picture's amazing.
This is from Myron. What's worse, Maximum Overdrive or Cell? And is there a King adaption worse than Cell? And Lawnmower Man doesn't count.
See, no. You're not allowed to do that. That's a terrible thing. You're like that. Is there a worse one than this? And you can't do obviously the worst one.
He says it's not an adaption. Which
I have a special place for Lawnmower Man. That I don't hate it. I hate Cell. And I love Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive is a fun fucking movie.
I can't say that I hate Maximum Overdrive. That's, I love it. So no, Cell sucks. It's the worst.
Right on. That's all the questions.
Next sender.
Oh, let's see. I want to see how this is gonna work.
We gotta jam through these. We got a fucking list of show
okay,
to get.
Oh my god. Why is Alan so pushy? All right, here we go.
Like if Dr. Dark passed his power like the Highlander.
Somebody's gotta do his job.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
All right, more surprising to me is probably Westworld, just because it's got that J.J. Abrams name and money behind it. Stranger Things kind of came out of fucking nowhere, and it's a Netflix original show. This whole idea of this thing is kind of new to people, I think, so that doesn't really surprise me so much that they got snubbed. But also, genre stuff doesn't tend to fucking, like, it's another new thing that, like, horror and sci-fi type shows are doing really fucking well on TV, like, better than anything else. So... better like next year, basically. I think you'll see a lot more shows. I'm kind of surprised that fucking Channel Zero, like, that's something that's pretty unanimously, like, all the critics are like, oh my fucking god, about didn't, I don't think, even get any nominations or anything. So, I'll go with Westworld. Saddest celebrity death of 2016. It's kind of a tie for me. I mean, Angus Scrimm was a super huge bummer just because he's like, fucking in a couple of my favorite movies and is just like the sweetest old man ever, basically. Keith Emerson was another huge one. That's like that guy is pretty fucking influential in like the keyboard world and bringing that kind of sound, like just for the Inferno soundtrack.
Yeah, the Inferno soundtrack's fucking amazing.
Like, I'm not a huge like Emerson, Lake and Palmer fan, but like the stuff that he did as far as soundtracks go are fucking amazing and among my favorite albums ever. So I'll go with those two, I guess, kind of. Next question from Darren. A movie I wish I could unsee from this year. This is obvious. This is We Are the Flesh. Like, that's 90 minutes of my life I'll never fucking get back.
I was just gutted I couldn't put it on this year's top 10 list. It's fucking awesome.
You couldn't? Didn't it come out?
No, it's not officially released. It's not officially released in the UK until next year, so we'll not be my list.
It's limited US screenings, comes out this Friday, I guess. So I'm pretty sure it's
go and watch it. You will love it.
I'm going to say don't go and watch it. Anyway. One that I wish I could watch again for the first time. I'll go with Raw just because there's one scene in this movie, and it's a scene, Blake. There was a story. I forget which film festival it was, but somebody fainted at a screening of this, and you'll know the fucking scene when it gets to it that was the one that made somebody faint, and it's worth, like, if the whole rest of the movie was terrible, it would be worth this one scene, but actually the rest of the movie is really fucking good, so I kind of wish I could go back and do Raw again. Thank God Dr. Dark's not here. There'd be a joke there. Maximum Overdrive or Cell. I haven't seen the Cell movie, so I can't really comment on that. But Maximum Overdrive's fucking great. I love that movie. I mean, I don't watch it super often, but I don't understand why it's considered a bad movie. It's pretty fucking fun. Emilio Estevez was like in his prime. This is like right after Repo Man. So where is the hate for Maximum Overdrive coming from? I mean, it's a cheesy bad movie, but that's kind of what it's meant to be. It's about killer trucks, for fuck's sake. So, yeah.
Boom. That's a good answer questions in a row. Look at that.
That was pretty nice.
Yep.
That was pretty nice. All right, let's see here. Let's go. Right.
Now imagine she's white.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Get in my belly!
Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Hello. What's question one again?
More surprising Golden Globe shafting, Westworld or Stranger Things?
Westworld.
Why?
I love Stranger Things. I think Stranger Things is an incredible TV show. Cannot wait for season two. But Westworld, like, operated on a completely different level for me. I think it's one of the best TV shows for a while, actually. I thought the story was incredible. I thought all the acting was of some of the highest caliber I'd seen at all in 2016. They pulled a narrative that worked really well all the way through, and just everything about that show should have been, I mean, it's based on a movie which is good, but it's not amazing. And they elevated the TV show to a level which I didn't think was achievable. I would go on record to say that I thought it was better than Game of Thrones last year, and I think that is where the future of HBO lies. Is in Westworld now that Game of Thrones finishes up in the next year and a bit. And we get no more Westworld until 2018, which is a bit of a shame, but I think when it comes back, it'll crush. I think I love Stranger Things, but Westworld was truly something special. Next.
Okay, saddest celebrity death of 2016.
I'm going to say David Bowie. I mean, growing up, like, my mum had a really eclectic music taste. Like, I listened to everything growing up, from kind of Motown, Elvis, right through to New Romantics, hair metal. She listened to everything, but David Bowie was very important in my household, anyway, and that my mum owned most of his albums. And growing up, I went through everything and was just constantly. I think he was when I started really getting into playing music and stuff like that. I could say that his idea of theatrics and all the rest was something that was really kind of prominent. So yeah, maybe not necessarily the answer everyone wanted to hear, but I think that one definitely floored me when it happened. That or Alan Rickman, actually. Alan Rickman was a painful death, just because I thought he was a fucking incredible actor. That a lot of people were then coming out after he died saying, oh, Alan Rickman, we're so sorry we've lost him. Wasn't he an incredible actor? Yet no one was talking about him when he was around. Everyone just kept talking about Professor Snape and missing out.
He'll always be the Sheriff of Nottingham to me.
He'll always be fucking Hans Gruber to me. Mm-hmm. Best fucking on-screen villain of all time.
Or the Dickless Angel in Dogma, one of Kevin Smith's last, like, really good movies.
Or what's his face from Galaxy Quest? I mean, the man had, like, a fucking a plethora of amazing movies. So, yeah, that hit me quite hard as well. Next question.
Was there a movie you wish you could unsee, or one you could watch again for the first time?
Yoga Hosers is the movie that I wish I could unsee. It's a that one actually makes Tusk watchable, which maybe was
Holy
Kevin's
fuck.
Maybe was Kevin Smith's intention. I don't know. Maybe he thought, I'm going to make a movie worse than Tusk, and then people will realize how good they had it. It's a fucking shite movie. Oh, Kevin Smith, what have you done? What have you done, buddy? And one that I could see again for the first time. Yes, and it's on my list, and I will talk about it later on, and I'll tell you when I get that.
Sweet. What's worse, Maximum Overdrive or Cell, and is there a worse King adaption than Cell?
Yes. Yeah. Maximum Overdrive is the better of the two. Maximum Overdrive is a ton of fun. Not a great movie, but it is a ton of fun. Yes, I would say there is a movie worse than Cell. Cell's a terrible movie. Dreamcatcher is a fucking abysmal movie. Oh. Fuck Dreamcatcher. Fucking aliens coming out of asses and fucking...
I forgot about English that accent. Piece of shit.
Weasels. That's a fucking hellish movie, man. That... Morgan Freeman's in that movie. How the fuck did they get Morgan Freeman in that movie?
Money.
Money.
Probably. It's a good answer, man. Good answer. But yeah, I hate Dreamcatcher. And they're all walking around with fucking Mr. Grey's voices. Oh, hello, I talk like this because I'm an English gentleman trapped in an alien's body. Ha ha, let me crawl out your ass. No, I hated that movie. More than Cell, but I didn't like Cell either.
Yeah, Cell's horrible.
Is that me done?
That's all the questions, yo.
Meow, oh, meow, okay. Meow, meow. Yep, yep, yep.
I'm not your friend, buddy! I'm not your buddy, guy! He's not your kind of friend!
Old Danny boy.
All right, Marky Mark.
Westworld or Stranger Things? Who got the harder Golden Globes dickin'?
It would be... See, I would go with Westworld too, but I'll say Stranger Things because they're a bunch of little kids. You gotta feel bad. Little kids always gotta win. You know, in the participation age. Sad.
Fuck the Golden Globes. Who gives a rat's ass about them?
Russell C. says, shout out to his cousin Sam, who's listening for the first time.
What's up, Sam?
Hi, Sam.
Sam, is that Sam male or
Sam
female?
Sam, I am.
Because that changes how you would say that. Like, Sam? I mean, you wouldn't say that if you're, you know, if, never mind. You know what I'm saying. All right, Mark, what was the...
saddest celebrity death of 2016.
Well, since Duncan totally, like, raped me twice. Raped me
Sorry,
twice. Because he raped me the first time, and I'm like, all right. I'm like, oh, Alan Rickman. And then as I'm sitting here drifting off, and I was like, what else can I say as a backup? He goes, oh, and Alan Rickman, too. And I'm like, motherfucker. So I'm going to go. So I was like, where can I go? So I went where I know no one else on the show would go, but possibly Undead. And that's with Buddy Ryan, the longtime coach from the 1985 Bears. He built the greatest defense in NFL history.
I wish the other two would go.
Yeah. With the 1985 Bears. He died on June 28th. So, Buddy Ryan is my pick.
There you go.
Next question.
I call bullshit.
Well, I don't know who
I call
that
bullshit.
Is.
He's not a celebrity.
Buddy. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I got you.
He's a sports icon. I do not call him a celebrity.
All right. This wasn't sadder. But this was, or saddest, but this was the most surprising one, I would say, was that chick, and I can't remember her name now. The chick that was on The Voice, she was a celebrity because she was on The Voice. You know, the little young one that got shot down in that club in Florida.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah, you remember the one that was shot outside the club, that guy, like, shot, whatever, yeah, so that was pretty fucked up. There you go. I just...
All right, movie from 2016 that you can unsee or rewatch for the first time.
Yes, rewatch. I am glad. No, there's not, because I'm glad I watched those movies so I can properly tell people not to watch them later. So I'm glad I did watch them.
Good answer.
I'm glad I did watch them. Continue, Mark.
What's worse, Maximum Overdrive or Cell, and a worse King adaption than Cell?
This could be interesting.
All right, so
Danny's our authority on King.
Cell is horrible. Cell is such a piece of shit. I can't even fucking believe to watch that fucking. Ugh. It's not even. It doesn't even try. It doesn't even try.
It doesn't. It's such a fucking lazy movie.
And the worst thing was,
so lazy.
It really like stood out to me for a while. Like the funny thing is, I went back and redid the novel. And I've said this before on here, but it was I didn't like it the second time around. It wasn't as good to me. You know, the second time around. But the first time, it was amazing. It was, like, so fast-paced. You know, King usually starts really slow, and we get everything laid out for us first. This thing kind of just kicks right off, and shit's going on, you know, left and right. So, you know, it kind of stood out. But this movie, this movie was horrible, and the book's really not as good. But worse, yeah, I can think of a couple. I really don't like, I really don't like the adaptation for, what's the one that had Arquette in it? Riding the Bullet? I really didn't like Riding the Bullet. I really don't see what the big fucking deal is with that goddamn thing.
That's a good call, Danny.
I don't like that. It just
that
doesn't
sucked.
Because I like the story. I thought the story was good. I think a lot of those get completely effed. Ugh. And the one that they did for the TV show when they did Nightmares and Dreamscapes and did the mini ones, and they did was it Crouch End? It's this very Lovecraftian, creepy one where there's something goes.
Don't know that one.
I can't remember that one that well right now, suddenly. I don't know why I'm in such a haze, but I can't remember that one right now. But anyways, that story, it has the chick that was, since we were talking about Kevin Smith, the chick from Mallrats. And the main chick that was on the dating show. I can't think of what her name is right now. But she didn't have to do an awful lot in that movie. And she actually had to try to do something in the small thing. And she is not really a good actress at all. She's really bad. I mean, I'm sorry. And I don't want to say that about anybody, but she's a bad actress. She's really bad. She's hot. I mean, you know, whatever. But, she didn't have to say an awful lot in Mallrats. So, you know, she got lucky.
The conversation is continuing over on the Facebook page. Darren Wilson says the Night Flyer was a bit lame, to which Myron has responded, "No!"
Oh, I love the Night Flyer.
Yeah, it's a wee guilty pleasure of mine. I do quite like that one.
Look, Monica agrees. Yoga Hosers. Nope. Nope. But Alicia loved it. So, Jacob says, "Did we all forget Lawnmower Man?"
no, that was meant. We're not allowed to mention Lawnmower Man because it only really stole one scene from the book, and it only really shares a name. Everything else. Apparently King sued. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. Okay. King was like, "Not in my name."
Oof. All right. That's kind of rough. And you know what else was not really that good? And I don't know. I just don't dig it. And that's Cat's Eye. All right. I don't. The little troll sucking that girl's breath out and that little cat knocking it into the fan.
I kind of like that movie, Danny. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't like
that.
Is that
the George Romero, Dario Argento one?
That's too.
No, you're thinking about
that's too evil eyes.
Too evil eyes.
Which one is Cat's Eye?
Cat's Eye has the really two cool ones. Yeah, it has the. I just don't like the Drew Barrymore one with the way the troll
looks.
That's
the worst one.
Yeah.
But the other two were amazing.
The best one, but the James Wood one.
Oh my god!
Pretty fucking amazing. And that one with the guy walking on the ledge.
It's fuck. That one's great.
I remember that used to. I've got a fear of heights, and that used to terrify me.
Not only that, but
what I realized was I also had a fear of pigeons pecking at my feet.
Yeah, dude, I had the same things happen, and like when he gets back in there and the like head rolls out of the bag and you're just like, it's like all for nothing type shit. Like when you're a little kid and you get to watch that on TV, it was really fucked up. I mean, that movie scarred me. That scarred me. The parts of that and the cat getting electrocuted, that scarred me too.
That electric room. Even when he sees like wife and there's fuck all he can do about
it. Oh yeah, that's rough. But those two were great.
Those ones are amazing, and then that one that closed, it kind of felt like they were kind of paying some sort of penance at the end with that final story.
Yeah.
To just kind of try and lighten the tone overall, because up until that point, it's pretty fucking dark.
Yeah, the other two are great. But yeah, that one's just, I just don't like the troll. Ugh, it's fucking stupid. All right, where were we? I'm lost. Where are we at?
That's the end of your guts, buddy.
Good. All right, we're done. Okay, so
well done, guys. That was good. For the books.
That's good. It's because Dr. Dark was not here to sing a song, so now we're ready to go. But he needs to be here for the list. So where is he?
Stall.
We got a stall. All right.
Stall. Do we have an ETA for Dark?
I do not know. Have we heard anything from him?
No, I'm thinking that maybe we could power on without him in his absence, and when he arrives, we could then go through his list individually and then guess when he's going through his list what was fake and what was real.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. All right, let's do that.
Yeah.
All right, Mark?
Yes.
Kick us off. What are we doing?
The top 10 best horror movies of 2016. I'm going to go ahead and say right here, this was a year for genre-adjacent movies. Movies that sort of are horror, like, kind of depending on how you look at it. I got a few that are sort of cheats on my list, for sure. But can we all agree? What?
Said Mark's cheating as usual. Here we go.
Yep, yep. My lists are always fucking bullshit, and I don't give a fuck. Actually, most of these are horror movies. One that appeared on my list last year that is lower on the list this year for whatever reason. So I'm excited for this. This was a great fucking year for movies in general. And especially if you like weird fucked up shit, there is tons of stuff coming out. You gotta go past like the general audience shit to find a lot of this stuff. You either got to see it at a festival, a limited screening, or wait for it to come out on video in one form or another. But yeah, great fucking year. Should we kick this fucker off with the number 10?
Do it.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
You want me to go or somebody else from the ball?
The ball is in your court, bitch.
Yeah, it's funny you say ball, because guess what my number 10 is? Phantasm Ravager.
Oh.
And I'm going to go ahead and say right here, yeah, the special effects in this movie are not good. There's some fucking terrible acting in this movie, too. But I would have way rather got a Phantasm movie with like sort of dodgy effects and super shot guerrilla style, low budget, like rough around the edges than nothing at all, because I thought this was a really fucking charming and nice way to end the fucking series. And
it had a lot of heart.
Yeah, it's charming as fuck, which is something that I love about all of the Phantasm movies. So this just fits right in. Supposedly we're getting a box set here pretty soon. I think that's been... I don't remember who's putting it out. Maybe one of you guys does, but yeah.
Go Phantasm. USA. Well, go USA.
Is that who it is?
Yep.
Yeah, I will definitely be fucking buying that. I love the Phantasm movies. I couldn't not put this on my list, even though a lot of people criticized the bad effects and shit. This was one of my favorite things I saw at Fantastic Fest. So, yeah. Who's next?
I will do Smokes. Number 10 on Smoke's list is something I would have thought he would have liked a lot more. It's a movie called The Boy, and we all know how Smoke loves the boys.
Which boy?
This is the one about the doll, I think, because of the way he's described it. He says, the final act was a terrible abortion, but everything before was pretty decent. Kind of pretty decent abortion. So, yeah, that's his line on that. So it's The Boy. So I'm assuming it's the one with the doll.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. Is anyone going to watch it now based on that?
Hey, I've seen it. I didn't like it. So okay.
I hated it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even have made it. Like, it didn't even make my
top 10 list.
Yeah, it's not a very good movie. But Smoke's number 10, and we have to respect.
Oh, absolutely.
No, we don't have
absolutely.
To respect Smoke at all.
We just have to respect his list. We just have to respect his list. We don't have to respect him at all. Who gives a shit about him?
Right. Number 10 on my list, which was running really high until about October, and then the floodgates opened and I saw so many amazing movies. It's a little movie by Mike Flanagan, and it's Hush. Straight to Netflix. Good. Fucking loved this movie. Loved the kind of that way Flanagan takes something which is already a kind of a story that we're already familiar with, but puts a slight twist in it. And the twist in this movie was the victim is not only deaf, but she's also mute. And the killer stalks her while she's in her cabin retreat. I thought it was fucking brilliant. And like I say, any other, you're going to hear this a lot from me during this list. Any other year, this is top five material. But there was so many fucking amazing movies this year. It dropped very quickly from top five and just scraped into my top 10. So Hush for me, number 10.
Nice. Nice. Undead?
Who's next?
Yes.
What is your number 10 movie?
My number 10 is a very fucked up dreamlike movie called Baskin.
Oh,
nice. Nice, 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 n
Jeez. Fuck.
I love Baskin. That movie is like a mind fuck. It's. and that's. I like mind fucks. So.
Clearly.
As you'll see in my list, I think they're all mind fucks.
Yay! I love my dad's mind fuck list.
Yeah, let's change it to top 10 mind fuck list. Cause,
let's do that. Baskin, that sounds good.
Number 10. Loved it. Watch that chat.
Nice.
I only saw it for the first time, like, just. Like about 2 weeks ago, I think.
Damn it! I told you a long time ago to watch.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I did start watching it, and I can't remember what happened the night I watched it. I got maybe 25 minutes into it, and I stopped watching it. So before all the really good shit kicks in, but I knew. Like, I'll tell you, there's a point in that movie when I was like, oh, like right now, right, you have my full attention, sir. was the bit where they basically blinded the guy and then made him. Forcibly have sex with a woman wearing a like an actual animal's head over the top of her head.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, that's yeah, I'm in. I'm in like Flynn. Let's do this. Right to the end. Rode that wave. it's fucking brilliant. Danny.
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah, back to Danny.
All right, so this 10 would, if I did the list right now again, I don't think I would put this on here, but... You know, I was starting to get 80s out after last year. We had a lot of 80s stuff going on. You know, 80s, the music, everything. And I loved it all, but I was getting really tired of it, burnout. And right there at the end of the year, we got Beyond the Gates. And it was a little bit of VHS and a little bit of board game. And I'm like, all right, one more shot at the 80s before the year ends. And I'm good with it. And that is the only reason it really makes it on there. Normally, this movie's coming back off my list, but...
Barbara Crampton's really good in it.
It's hard not to put her on the list. You know, like, you know, she's had what, We Are Still Here and then this. So,
Sunchoke as well, which it made my top 20. I thought she was amazing.
Yeah, so she's, you know, she's nailing it out. So, yeah, that's my number 10.
Boom. Right, Mark, number 9.
Number 9. I put They Look Like People, which.
Ooh, I like that one a lot.
I really dug this movie. It's just a really, really fucking like smart kind of character study of like two dudes. And if I had to compare it to something, it's like if Basic Instinct was more about like mental illness rather than like weird sex and lust kind of things going on. It's sort of like that.
That's okay.
Only good.
Basic Instinct. That's amazing.
Well, sort of like that.
I guess we can kind of see it.
It's kind of a slow burn. It's got a great fucking in last 10 minutes or so. Check it out. I think it's on Netflix. I fucking missed this one at a festival. This would play a lot of fucking shows in 2015. Mm-hmm. But yeah, They Look Like People.
Yeah. All right. Nice.
Right. Let's do another smoke one. Funnily enough, Undead was joking about this earlier on in our chat, but at number 9 for Smoke, Cat Sick Blues.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, I've seen this, like, Facebook has been trying so hard to get me to watch this movie somehow, because there's an ad for this pops up all the time on my page, so it must be sponsored by someone on fucking Facebook, because it's always appearing. Smoke managed to track it down this week. This is Smoke's one-liner about... Cat Sick Blues. He says, low budget retelling of my life story. Full stop.
Exactly what I thought of. I watched this. I could see Smoke in this cat mask doing these things.
he sent me a screenshot of the guy in the cat mask.
Yes.
I was like, oh, for fuck's
the black cat funny. Mask. It's epic.
Yeah. So there you go. I think it is very difficult to see, but I think there are, if you are committed enough, you will be able to find it. If you know what
and
I mean.
It's not half bad. It's not there great. It's just not half bad.
Excellent. Excellent. Right. Here is my number 9. Be prepared to say, what the fuck, Duncan? Why is this not higher on your list? But I stand by this. I think my list is solid. Solid like a rock. Number 9 for me is a little South Korean zombie movie called Train to Busan.
Nice.
I love Train to Busan. I thought it was fucking brilliant. It is everything you've read. It is the kind of, it's the adrenaline shot to the overdosing corpse that is the zombie genre. There's so much about it that works. It's got a lot of emotion, which, you know, South Korean cinema does really well. It was good to see them stepping away from the vengeance stuff and just going back to just plain horror, which I think they're really fucking good at. You know, like, there's another one on my list coming up, by the way, which is fucking amazing. But anyway, my only gripe with Train to Busan is I think it is maybe about 20 minutes too long. I think you could probably strip a little bit. I don't think it's detrimental. I just think, like, it impacts rewatchability for me, just because I know there's a good 20 minutes in there that could be shaved down a little bit, and it would work, you know, more concisely. I'm a bit dismayed to hear that there's already talks of the American remake, so I expect that to be more like Zombies on a Train as opposed to Train to Busan. But yeah, I thought it was really, really fucking good. And what I loved about it is, and the great traditions of, like, Asian cinema, like, all the characters are characters. You know, they all have their own little quirks, or they all have their specific ways of speaking that makes them identifiable, and at the end of that movie you remember every character, and thus you feel sorry for them when they die. And that ending, it didn't draw a tear, but very few things draw a tear for me, but it was pretty fucking emotional. A great way to finish it off. So number 9 for me. I know it was a lot higher on so many lists this year, but number 9, Train to Busan. Undead.
Yes. Oh, I got an answer again.
Yeah.
Well, since Duncan already stole my thunder on this movie, not really thunder, but Mike Flanagan's Hush.
Nice.
Just anytime you take the slasher genre and mix it up a little bit for me, I'm there, because I'm a big slasher fan. Hush, I'm definitely in. 9. Hush, do it. Do it. Fucking do it.
All right. Number 9 for me was Carnage Park.
Oh,
and
I like Carnage Park.
I really like the movie, and I don't know. It kind of stuck with me, and that was way back. You know what I mean? Like, we've had so much slung at us, so the fact that it even popped into my head is why I just couldn't take it off the list as I kept cutting it down. So, yeah, Carnage Park.
I've still seen it.
You have not seen Carnage Park?
It's on my list. It has appeared on a particular site that I use for a wee while now, and it was supposed to be part of my 31 of October, and I didn't get around to that one. I just missed out.
So oh, it's good.
I will check it out, though. I will check it out. Mark?
Wait, did Danny go? What was his number 9? Oh, sorry.
He's literally just finished. Sorry. What are you up to? Are you on the hashish?
Nope. Number 8 was, this was my movie that appeared also on the previous year's list, and it's The Invitation. I've talked about this movie over and over, and nobody has ever gotten back to me and said, that was a great movie, but I went into this movie totally blind the first time I saw it, and it fucking floored me how tense and how much just ridiculous, like, atmosphere this thing builds. And it kind of just sucks you in and fucking doesn't let go until the end. And, yeah, great fucking movie. You got to see this. I think it's another one that's on Netflix, The Invitation.
Maybe on my list, Mark.
Ooh.
I'll not comment on this movie.
I know you can, because I know you weren't as a big a fan.
At some reason, it just didn't click with me. Not that it's not a good movie. It'd make a top 20 on my list. It just, some reason, I didn't get that tension you guys got, and I'm jealous of that. I mean,
you jelly.
I sat there and watched it. I hate to say I was bored, but I was. I guess I had it built up in my head too high, and then when you go into it, I even watched it twice, and I still didn't get nothing out of it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I know quite a few people that just said it didn't work for them at all.
Yeah,
it's greatly. Bo just said to him it was just paint by numbers. He didn't really enjoy it at all. So, okay, right. Smoke, number 8 for him. Number 8 for Smoke is 31. He says,
what?
Listen, you've got. I told you his list is designed to. His list is designed to infuriate you.
Fuck his list.
His one-liners are what sells every pick, though. He says, The Running Man is a great film, no matter how shitty of a director and wife combo are involved. Like, no one is agreeing with you, Smoke. That is a fucking terrible movie. It just got pipped by Yoga Hosers for me as, like, the worst fucking thing I saw. So, yeah, that's number 8 for him. It's number 31 by Rob, or Rob Zombies 31, as we like to call it. Just to remind you who directed it. Number 8 for me, a fucking fantastic return to form for this director. I loved his debut. It's a certain movie called Excision. I was not as enamoured with Suburban Gothic, which I thought was a great idea, just not very well executed. And leaned too heavy on the comedy. This year, he fucking come back like guns blazing and Trash Fire by Richard Bates Jr. is... Oh, so good. So good. Yes. It just got me. I watched this movie and it just, everything about it reminded me of how I felt the first time I watched Excision and the end, and it just leaves you fucking cold. And that's like, that director should, he should just do that sort of movie, because I don't think anyone else does it near as good as he does. It's got some great performances. It is still funny. There is like really weird, kind of uncomfortable humor, and it's very well placed to kind of break up the feeling of absolute dread when you're watching it. It's just a fucking great movie. And once again, any other year, this is top 5 material for me. But it was a 2016 was a cruel whore bitch, and as a result, it reached number 8 on my list. Undead.
Spoiler alert, it's higher on my list.
Ooh. I forgot we used that spoiler. Hey, what's up, Verbal Cat and Madman Gamer? Where have you been, Madman? And Verbal Cat, where the hell have you guys been? What's up? Good to have you, though.
Madman Gamer, I've not heard from him in ages.
Yeah, I know. Madman Gamer, where have you been?
Hey, buddy.
Oh, no, they added all those Pauly Shore movies to our Netflix. I was watching Son-in-Law the other night. Oof. I can't help but watch it, though. God, I can't help but watch it.
You have to watch it, Daddy.
I do. And
what's up?
No.
Oh, God. It's a weasel.
Oh, stop. You're making my nuts, like, twist. In, like, these
oh, by the way, Smoke posted a still from Cat Sick Blues, or Cat Sick, whatever it was called. Yeah, it's a person wearing a vet collar, tied to a chair, while a man wearing a black cat mask is sitting there with a large pink rocket between his legs.
He had that specially designed too.
Yeah, it's really rough. Where are we at?
Undead, we are, undead.
Number 8 for me.
Okay,
Duncan was talking
8.
About a movie that was had a lot of uncomfortable horror and humor. Ugh, I can't talk. And this movie's called Demon.
Oh, I still didn't see this. I really fancy it.
Duncan, in a year with art house films, this adds to the list. It's not as artsy as, say, like a Neon Demon or even Eyes of the My Mother. Yeah. But I'm telling you what, this movie here, it creeped me out a little bit. And that usually doesn't creeped happen you? With me. Yeah, I'm. There's only one other movie on this list that even gave me a cold chill. This movie here, it's just so well acted. Oh, my God. It's not really big on the horror side of it. There's enough horror to keep you going. And it throws these little comedy things in there. You're like, and just breaks up the tension. That's my number 8, Demon. Oh,
yeah,
very good.
It's on my list already. I've not been able to locate a copy of it. I need to check it out, though.
Yes.
Danny!
Number 8... is
he sounded like a grandmother about to call him.
He's like, Danny, come on, Danny.
Your sandwich is ready.
Number 8 for me is actually Russell's number 1, and I could see that being number 1 first, you know, on a list. Train to Busan was number 8. It was a little higher for me at first, and then I started thinking about it as a double feature with something like Snakes on a Plane, which I like Snakes on a Plane, but it somehow took away a little bit from Train to Busan suddenly, and now it had to fall off my list quite a bit. I don't know why. It just, like, all of a sudden, it was just goofy like that. And like I said, I do like Snakes on a Plane. I think it's hilarious, but it's, you know, it's like the weird cousin that, you know, Train to Busan shouldn't have brought around, and now it's kind of lowered his quality because of it. Sorry.
Would you have enjoyed it more if at one point Samuel L. Jackson said, I'm sick of these motherfucking zombies. on this motherfucking train.
Only if the one guy says it, the father to be, the guy with the pregnant chick.
Yeah, if he says it, amazing.
If he says it, then that's cool. I can deal with it. That'd be awesome.
Just like taping up his arms and fucking wrecking shit.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. So yeah, it's a great movie though. But yeah, number 8 for me.
Steven Lara has posted on the page, is anyone eager to see Split? Only one of us on the show has actually seen Split, and that is Mark. And Mark, you were none impressed with it.
Which means everyone else will love it. That's the truth. I mean, that's what's happening here lately. You know, you don't like the movie. Duncan likes the movie.
Yeah. He does kind of, there's a bit where in the trailer, James McAvoy is dressed up like an old woman walking about the place. And I have struggled to not think on Mrs. Doubtfire. I'm being honest. Oh, hello, dearie. I can't wait. So yeah, that answers that question. Right, so where are we? We are technically at halftime.
So. Oh, yeah. So, all right, we're stopping at 8, and that gives us seven for the last hour. And a little bit stuff after, I guess, because I don't know. Well, we might. Who knows? We'll see what happens. I got to find. All right. So everyone can leave. Everyone can leave now. It's time for hater free halftime with, you know, thank you for staying, Monica. Thank you.
Go Mountaineers.
Thank you for staying. Yeah, that would be, you can, all of you out the door. All right. It's hater free halftime, hip hop halftime. And, I got to see where I put this thing. So it is. This is Flatbush Zombies. Is that? And then the second one is a freestyle from Oswin Benjamin. If you haven't heard
and
Oswin,
nobody will listen to.
I know, but there's a couple out there that get down. There's a couple of them that get down. Right? They're not so close-minded as the West Virginia Mountaineers are. Right? Some of them are
That's
a little open-minded.
Fucking fact, pal.
I mean, some of us, you know. Embrace, you know, and the worst thing is, look, what is your theme song? What is the West Virginia theme song when your team comes out onto
Country
the field,
roads.
Huh?
Country roads.
Okay, so let's. All right, hold on here. Hold on. Let's hold on. Let's see this shit right here. Country roads, and this is
John
okay.
Denver.
Okay, so this is what you guys come out to, right? So let's see here. I guess
no, almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains. I know that song.
You do know this?
John Denver, yeah.
Oh, man.
I told you I grew up in a very eclectic household when it came to music.
Well,
super eclectic. So, sorry if I just shattered the illusion that I was cool for a second.
No, I get.
We don't come out to that. We only play that when we win.
No, no. Okay, so what do you guys come out to? Is what I was asking here.
I'm
probably
coming
like Kid Rock.
You guys come out to Kid Rock.
Oh, no, you come out to Kid. No, you don't. Do you?
No.
Ball with the ball, we'll bang, we'll bang.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what we come out to.
Let's see here. So this is
the home game in a while.
This is what you guys play? Life
is old. Yeah, we all sing it when we win. No hold hands.
You know, we.
It's awesome.
We come out onto the field with like fireworks going off and the entire crowd jumping up and down to Enter Sandman. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty
it is, cool. Pretty
and
cool.
So doesn't have about 800 other teams.
No, who doesn't? Who doesn't like tech? Do you tell me one? You tell me one. Metallica is on our game screen. Metallica comes on and says that this is for the Hokies. I mean, they came there and did this. I mean, this is whatever.
How much they pay them?
I'm gonna find the video for you. I'm gonna edumacate you over there in West Virginia,
it.
Over there in the west, the western parts of the vagina.
You
know,
it's heavy. Tell no, it's to give you heavy, here. Baby.
This is just for Undead right here for his return. We've got his favorite rap artist, Flatbush Zombies, and and then his favorite freestyler, Oswin Benjamin, coming up. He has requested these. We're playing them for him. And then we'll be back with our top seven, top seven movies. Motherfucker.
So much grams, unzip the bag, dip in my hand. Then I palm trees, so when you throw shade, it could never harm me. So when you throw shade, it could never harm me. So much grams, unzip the bag, dip in my hand. tree. So when you throw shade, it could never harm me. So when you throw shade, it could never harm me. Lions don't lose sleep over the opinion of sheep. On the road to the riches, money sticking to my cleats. I am my many feet, skin new or darky meat. Niggas with the most opinions usually have the least. It's funny how now rappers be on they druggy shit. Downloaded my tape, sack back, study shit. Acid pack 100 hits, shroom caps and hash bricks. Trippy like that Destiny Child chick on 106. This white bitch had the fucking nerve to call me a nigga when she the one paying the surgeon for her lips to get bigger. Do you get the bigger picture? Shit is back with my nigga. You sneak dissing, taking jabs, will get your boxing on, cause you ain't get the word. I'm Black Lesnar in the octagon. This shit is straight absurd. Do not hate me cause your life is shitty. I show no pity, you turd. You better off in the dirt. Now you better off dead like the title of my words. So much grams, unzip the bag, dip in my hand, then I palm trees. So when you throw shade, it could never harm me. So when you throw shade, it could never harm me.
Every day, me and Mary Jane. You might say I'm addicted, but me, I'm truly lifted. Stone so loud, you can hear me in the crowd. Smoking Girl Scout, I'm sour by the ass. Mary never cheat me. Mary not the backstabbing bitch that'll lie and deceive me. Spread it even, even. Hash wax in the evening. Dab or die trying. On the road to Zion. Damn. Stick me for my paper. They tryna take me under. I seen it through the vapors. Jealous ones, ill envy. Got a couple real with me. And my bitch will chuck some shit and smoke the kill with me. Meech will hide the body. Enough of that though. They saying talk is cheap. So I be smiling when we meet. They screaming. Zombies out in England. But I'm on the block with Mary pushing and dreaming. I'm feeling myself. This pushes on my nizzles. Spitting riddles on instrumentals. Trippy life. Blotter in the night. Feel my appetite. Feel my appetite.
So much grams. Unzip the bag. Dip in my hand. Then I palm trees. So when you throw shade, it could never harm me. So when you
your mans, or be your fan, or be your kin, pay your dues. Man, I gotta choose whether I lose or win this for a friend. Can't determine the difference. The instance they see you peeking, they pussy be leaking fluid. My nigga, what is you doing? No black in the back of a Buick. I'm proving I'm sadistic as sin as I'm making murderous music. We don't rap the same thing, nah, don't bother confusing. So much stressing on my brain, mama think I'ma lose it. Human vagabond, who's a stole they panties in my carry-on? Why you hating niggas acting nonchalant?
Honest, bro.
Fuck
honest,
your publications that say I'm a third wheel. Architect, build your mindset, stress but won't swill. Ooh, yes, I smoke kill. I'm crack, you smoke grills. I pack, you dope deal. In fact,
I'm so chill.
I'm never off the pivot. 6 stitches to your image, not defended. When you call me genius, all that means is...
So much grams, unzip the bag, dip in my hand, then I palm trees. So when you throw shade, it could never harm me. So when you throw shade, it could never harm me.
Shout out to Top Shelf Premium, Oswin Benjamin, Young Osito, Smiggity the God, Leviticus Bradshaw, whatever you want to call him. Check it out.
See, I've been slept on for quite a bit. Enough to get a Tempur-Pedic sponsorship, but God, I know. Way more than I ever been. Exposing these bitch niggas on estrogen. Some Caitlyn Jenner shit. There's no degradation. There's speculation back in your legacy, baby. I know it's hard to drop the ball when it's deflated, Brady. A Mark Albert to a George Gervin. Yeah, I talk a good game, but I put that work in. The coldest nigga for certain. Curtains to all competitors. I leveled up and I left embellishments behind. No, I keep it G to the letter, man. Check to check, living open door for embezzlement. Cause timing on our side for us to settle for no settlements. Y'all niggas love these bird bitches, all y'all babes is pelicans. Fucking niggas with dough and tell your ass that she celibate. But I ain't buying that bullshit from a cash cow. Fucking any nigga that cash out, then pass out on your man couch with a pussy lips and your man mouth. Cause he stands out, but he stood in a bit too long. Pussy too tall, little dude, he gotta be a man now. Oh, she saying with a hand now. Nigga never put a rubber on. Now we on his way to make a fam now. Time support is taking all the chicken. Now we got hustle every day with a make a pallet in the ass out. Lot of niggas on the west out. Kudos to the trap queens who ain't never really need a stove, just some good head in the back seat. Like, oh, so shed some light on the schemes. High beams exposed to Judas Iscariot to regimes. So take that walk to Gethsemane. Share your fear with your team and the lips that scream. And I got you, the ones that's bracing your cheek. See niggas sell their soul and loyalty all for some shiny things. A bag of silver, bag of sour, some pussy and diamond rings. My God. See, it's a motherfucking shame, ain't it? But ain't that part of the game, baby? Just know. Hold up. All right. Here's a public service announcement. For any doubt, and time is counting me out, since I'm ready for anything the fuck you want to talk about. Care from politics, jean pockets, Tupac shit, a la Yaku, fat most black hoes, fucking hoes, one thumbs in their assholes. Whatever, man, I tell you, man, all hell the rain of this weather, man. A street scholar and a clever man. The sentiments of a terrorist and a tenement. Stick a sentiment, bitch, tell your friends about me. OZ with the long beat, probably fuck your mom in the RG. Put it right to sleep off the codeine. My pipe is a drug. From the ex-bitch to the next bitch, all them fall in love. And then I fall out of touch like, oh, it's too easy if you didn't know. So oppose, oh, and I kill him slow. You snap at him and I'll kill you, Cam. Throw your mother's mother in a trap and leave a strap with a gat. I call that a kilogram. Fuck a milli rock, no on every block. Got your militant. Yo, bitch, my like fish and chips. The home with a song, your blaze will rip the heart right out of a Johnny's cage, leave him finished in. The middle of the winter, bitching over a bitch, nigga. Bitch, nigga, please get your shit together. It was never your pussy, it was just your turn. Don't let the last forever. Some other nigga was fucking raw way before you met her. Probably gave the whole crew neck, so don't sweat it, though. Just let it go. Focus on your passion and set it go. Accumulate a couple of checks and get some extra O's. Shit. I think it's time I let y'all know. I sat and read the book of Job. Ain't nothing I ain't ready for, nigga. Top shelf premium. Thank y'all for having me out from Benjamin. Young Oshito, Schmigitty the God, Leviticus Bradshaw. Whatever y'all want to call him, protect your soul. Coming soon. Thank y'all for having me here. I love y'all. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
All right, we're back for the second hour and still no Dr. Dark. I don't know where he's at. He's just not going to, he's talked up this list that he was going to make, and he's not even going to be here. Such bullshit. What the fuck? That's all I got to say.
Well,
such a liability.
I know. It's, what in the hell? I mean, I don't understand where he's at. What time is it? It's 8:14. All right. Mark, where did we leave off?
Number 7.
And let me just say that if, you know, I don't know if this is like a middle school dance and everybody's just waiting for the first one to get out on the floor to dance. But listeners, as we're going through our numbers, you can throw out your numbers on Facebook and the message board over at the message board. Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, was this like 1997? over in the Facebook group.
Bringing it back.
You can go over to the Facebook group. I post that shit over there. You know, tell us what's going on. Tell us what your numbers are. We want to hear your top 10 too.
Give Russell Sees has like just done his right now. He said number 5 for him was Baskin, number 4 The Wailing, number 3 The Witch, number 2 Don't Breathe, and number 1 Train to Motherfucking Busan.
Nice. All right, cool.
Nice.
All right,
more of them, more lists.
Yeah, definitely more lists. All right, Mark, where are you at?
My number 7 is 10 Cloverfield Lane. And I pretty much put this on here just because of John Goodman's performance. Like, the ending is kind of, I like the ending, but I can see why a lot of people might not like the ending. But you got to see this solely if for nothing else, but for John Goodman's performance is fucking terrifying. I don't think this is one of my new favorite John Goodman performances and that's a fucking,
even
a long list of really good movies.
Let's say he's
done
quite a bit.
He's, I think that the beauty of that performance is he is terrifying, but there are moments in that movie he seems completely reasonable and sympathetic.
Yeah, he's John Goodman, so you can't help but love him, but and that's what makes it even more terrifying. He's like the scary dad kind of.
I was waiting for Roseanne to walk in.
Yeah. Now that was Nightmare on Elm Street.
And to find it being dead for a whole season, spoiler alert.
Very good.
Right, number 7 on Smoke's list actually doesn't come out in the UK until the end of the month, but he has seen it, so it's on his list. Is Sadako versus Kayako. That's the Ring versus the Grudge to those yes. out there. His one-liner should surprise no one. He says, "Hot Asian girl on girl action."
Jesus Christ.
Such a dumbass.
All right, well, let's give it to him. There you go.
Right, number seven for me, I reckon, is probably higher on everyone else's list. But once again, I think the six above it are fucking super solid. I actually loved this movie, and it was pretty much at the top, like near the top, until November time when I started catching a lot of movies that just really started bypassing it. Of the Korean movies we spoke about, I think this one is by far the better one that no one's talking about for some reason, is The Wailing. I think it is an absolutely incredible ghost story. I think it's probably one of the best ghost stories I've seen in a long time. It's funny, it's quirky, it's terrifying. A couple of moments really creeped me out. I think the story is just really well put together, and where I was complaining that I felt Train to Busan felt long, you could have easily put 20 minutes extra into The Wailing, and I don't think it would have been detrimental to it at all. I kind of wanted to live in that story. This is number seven for me on my list, The Wailing.
Nice.
Undead.
Yeah, number seven for me. I don't technically know if it's out in America. It's been out for a long fucking time, but I don't know if it's technically out in America. And it's got two different names, so it gets confusing to some. But
it's out this month in America, I think.
You think you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The Black Coat's Daughter, maybe.
Yeah, that's the one. It's February in the UK.
So yes, February is what I saw it under. Oh, my God, Oz Perkins. Oh, that movie is gorgeous. I don't want to say too much about it. I want people to watch that movie. It's art house horror at its finest. That's what I'll.
Excellent.
Twister!
I think Dr. Dark has sent a message via our message to say he is still driving home, but he can car Skype until he gets here.
Yeah, that's what we just tried to do. That's what all that. Ooh!
He says, cars. Young Twister.
Breakfast was 13 hours ago.
Yeah, so we'll have to leave that to Smoke to tell him that it's coming off like, I don't know, he's probably really angry because he gets like hangry like that. So
that noise that you heard wasn't a car, it was his stomach.
It was pretty loud, whatever was going on. So we had to hang up on him, and it was pretty bad. Yes, Dr. Dark, it was pretty bad, but I know you can't hear this.
Bad Dark. Bad Dark.
It was bad.
Number seven for Danny Boy.
Mine was The Girl with All the Gifts.
And,
didn't get a chance to see that one.
I really enjoyed it.
Didn't see it yet either.
It really fit the book very well, and the book was great. And during that year of novels, that book was definitely in my top three, I think, for that year. Might have even been my number one. I can't remember what came out that year, but I know it was definitely in the top three. Where if it would have come out, you know, with the novels this year, it would not have been anywhere near my top three. So the same with the movie, I guess. Girl with All the Gifts was good, but a lot of the surprise that really helped the novel and the movie of not knowing what the hell is going on for at least the first 15 minutes. I mean, you have an idea, but it slowly unravels. And already knowing all that, I guess, kind of brings it down a little bit. So it would have been higher on my list, you know, because I enjoyed the book so much and it did fit it so well. But it's down here. Number seven.
It's a really good movie, actually. I think it gets formally... There's a weird fucking thing just now going on with, like, release movies. Considering the year we're living in, everything should just be everywhere at the same time. But it came out in the UK. You can now buy it on Blu-ray in the UK. I think it doesn't officially get an American release until next month, which is just fucking nuts.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Because it'll just get pirated to fuck. It's out in Blu-ray in the UK. People will just pirate that shit.
Yeah, so, they need to get it out there. Everyone needs to see Glenn Close get smacked around a little bit. It's fun.
I really enjoyed that, actually. On your recommendation, I never read the book, but I checked out the movie when I was at the cinema, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Alicia Newman puts her top 10. She says that number 10 is Baskin. Number 9, I Am Not a Serial Killer. Number 8, Don't Breathe. Number 7, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Number 6 was Hush. Number 5, The Invitation. Number 4, The Good Neighbor. Number 3, The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Number 2, The Wailing. And number 1, Train to Motherfucking Busan.
That's a really nice list. I like that.
It's a fucking good. proper solid list right there.
It is really awesome. Thank you.
Marcus. Are we on Marcus? Six now?
We on yep. six. Yeah, we on six.
And the autopsy of Jane Doe.
Oh, nice. Ooh, nice one there.
Sorry, I'm having fucking mic difficulties at the moment.
That what made you sound weed. Like that?
Yep, that's where the accent came from. Autopsy of Jane Doe was a movie I went into this sort of blind, but with a name like that, you have some expectations. I'm glad this didn't turn into like a corpse fucking movie. This is actually like a really classy, like kind of ghost story that takes place in a morgue. This should probably be a little bit higher on my list because honestly, like this movie fucking floored me, and it came out like right in October. Well, I guess in the festival is when I saw it. It didn't come out until like December or so. But either way, great fucking movie. You got to see it. Should probably be higher on my list. I'm sure it might be on some other people's.
It didn't make my top 10. It made my top 20. What? I think, yeah, right. I loved
Same
it.
Here.
I thought it was a great fucking movie. I get the feeling that over time I'll go back and watch it more. And it wasn't for anything being wrong with the movie. I thought the movie was really fucking well done. But like I say, my list is pretty, it's like titanium. You know what I mean? It's pretty impenetrable. Like really, really, honestly, like my list moving on now, there is like no wiggle room and you will have no idea how much I agonize. In fact, spoiler alert, if anyone listened to the podcast Under the Stairs episode that dropped this week, which had my top 20 list, you will hear me on air change my mind about number one and number two. I'll swap them actually on the
show. I could probably swap the top five around.
Brutal. Just talking about them, and I was like, "That no, fuck it, I'm changing it." I totally loved that movie, and I can't wait to see what it does. Trollhunter's like one of my favorite movies of that film footage genre, so it was always going to be great. And Brian Cox is fucking phenomenal in that movie, so yeah, I'll live a little bit of that. Number six from Smoke. This is classic Smoke. Number six for him was The Witch. He says, his one-liner was, by far the best movie of 2016 with Witch in the title.
God damn fuck.
What a dumbass.
He didn't make that up. He stole that from somebody.
Probably. You know what he's like. Number six for me is a little Iranian horror movie. Because that's what I'd do. In the Shadows. Yes. This movie, once again, I get a feeling that when I go back and watch this a second or a third time, I'm going to love this even more. To me, it kind of felt like this year's Babadook. Just a really stripped back, well-designed, well-crafted, proper, creepy ghost story. It's set in a block of flats. You get the feeling very early on. It's set during like the conflict over in that country. You get the feeling
early on
that there's maybe something going on in the apartment and you're not quite sure what it is. And it moves. And when you get the reveal, it's creepy as fuck. So you should totally check that one out.
Totally.
The Shadows. I think it's fucking brilliant. I know it's on Netflix in the UK. I don't know if it has made its way to Netflix in the States.
Don't believe.
When it does, check it out. It will reward you. It's a great fucking movie. Great movie. There you go. Undead.
Sweet. And my number six has been talked about a bunch. It's Train to Busan.
Nice.
Very nice.
Mine is
Danny boy.
Mine is Pet.
I never checked this one out. I didn't get a chance to see it.
Is that the one in the cage?
The chick?
Yes.
Yes.
I needed a second viewing. That was pretty good.
That one's pretty good. When it kicks off, I'm so bored with where I thought it was going. And the fact that it goes a different direction is why I put it on here. Cause I'm like, man, yeah. Cause I was ready to just turn it off. I'm like, God, I'm so tired of this same story. And it was nice. I like it. So, Pet number six for me.
Nice. Very nice. Marcus Ballas.
All right. Number five. You knew it was coming. The Greasy Strangler, because I am a man of fuck out. Oh, I got ropes and jism.
Oh, good.
This one dropped because when you saw this one, you told us it was going to take our list.
He does it every year. Every year he tells us that.
Number five. It's pretty fucking high. It's probably one of the most fun things I watched all year.
There's another one that's you compare that with. It's a double feature. I don't know if anybody's seen it yet or not. I would. Night is Something Strange. You double feature.
Yeah, hey, so listen. Night is
Something Strange.
Ton of fun that movie.
We're supposed
that movie is so much fun.
We're supposed to. Well, we were supposed to. I don't know if she'll still do it now. We were supposed to do an interview with the chick from that movie because she went to the same school that I went to, and I work with her aunt. The one with the shit coming down her legs everywhere.
Oh God.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. She was also in. She did like small roles. She did the, what was it? The Lone Ranger that Disney did. She had a small role in there too. But yeah, this was, they did a premiere here, our small theater in the town and everything for it. So yeah, she was going to do it. And, at the time we were getting out of horror, so I never wrote back, but, I can try again. Cause I'll just talk to her on.
It's a lot of fun. Greasy Strangler. Mark sold it really high for me. And I thought the trailer looked all right. And I went to see it in the cinema. And the Scottish premiere for it, and I fucking about wet myself laughing. And I bought it on Blu-ray, and I watched it in the house and laughed a bit less than I did in the screening that I saw. And I tried to move heaven and earth to get in my top 20, and I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. And it's not. It was one of the more unique experiences. I can't think of anything recently that's had the sort of, because it's doing things we've seen before. It's doing stuff like Trauma does. But it's just doing, it's like
trauma doing Napoleon Dynamite.
That's exactly what it is. And it works really, really, really well.
Bullshit artist. It's one of the most quotable movies. I've probably quoted that movie 100 times. I watched it with two guys here on the road that don't watch shit like that. And you should have seen their reactions, dude. Big Ronnie walks that meat hammer out. It's over with.
Yeah, I just could not stop laughing at that. It's ridiculous. And it is this year's most polarizing movie because you either really like that movie or you just don't get it. So,
I'm
glad you had the balls put on your list, though.
That's
my number five with Smokes. What kind of bullshit Smoke got?
Number five on Smoke's list is The Neon Demon. His one-liner, there's way more neon than there is demon.
Oh my God.
I love that quote.
Spoiler alert.
That's my quote.
I do like that quote. So that's his number five. Number five for me, already mentioned by Mark, Undead was not as enamored by it. I fucking loved it. The Invitation. Karen Kusama is a weird director for me because she did, the last movie she did genre-wise was Jennifer's Body. And I don't like that the first time I saw that. I saw that in the cinema over here and did not get it at all. And then revisited it a few years ago and actually found that it was a bit better than I had remembered it being.
Yeah, it's better.
If that makes any
sense.
Yeah, it's a lot. I don't know what I was expecting that first time, but I enjoyed it a whole lot more the second viewing. The Invitation to me is a fucking great, great movie. I can completely understand when people say they know where. I knew where the movie was going 5 minutes into it. I knew there was going to be some sort of cult activity, and I kind of guessed where the ending was going. Not the actual last shot, which I thought was a fucking stroke of genius, but whereas some people have said that kind of lessened the tension for them, if anything, it made me more tense watching it because I was constantly waiting for the scenario that happens in that movie to unfold. Like, constantly, will it happen at this point? Will it happen at this point? It made me very, very on edge. I started getting very nervous watching this movie, like incredibly nervous watching the movie. And I think the ending is, I know some people aren't necessarily on board with that last shot in the movie. I really fucking liked it because to me it's world building, and I love that in movies when the camera pulls back and you see that a problem that you've experienced that you think you have survived is actually greater than just your experience. I always find that those are some of the best ones in movies. I love endings that do that. I think it's really stylishly shot. I think it's excellently scored. I think the acting's phenomenal in it. I love the fact that we just get to follow a character and all these small conversations that all felt really real. Like all the interactions it has with all his friends it hasn't seen in a while all feel
it does awkward great.
Oh yeah, done it really, really, really well. I fucking loved it. I've seen it 3 times this year since it came to Netflix. So earlier on in the year, about the middle of the year, and I saw it just before I made my list, and every time I felt exactly the same way watching it. So that's why it's so high. Number 5 on my list, The Invitation. Undead.
Yes, number 5 on my list. Duncan has mentioned just a few minutes ago, Under the Shadow. This movie is the first movie of the year that really got under my skin as far as creepy-wise. Yeah. That actually gave me a cold chill. There's a scene, I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but Duncan knows what I'm talking about, where you turn around and this thing's there, and it just, a cold chill rolled up my spine. I was like, I can't believe a haunted house movie did this for me. It's been a long time since. And then the acting is just so good. And then you got to worry about the characters doing something different than just the haunted house. I like it when they do that. Other things are going on. They're being bombed, for Christ's sake. And then you got a haunted house going on. Watch it. It's very, very, very good.
Yes. Totally agree. Coats. Awesome. Someone going to do the Danny bit? Danny?
I know. I was actually waiting for him this time. Yeah. He didn't do it.
No one did it. It was just me this time. I feel racist.
Yeah, you missed it.
Danny!
Mark's trapped down the well.
Yeah, he's a douche. What's he doing?
Someone threw grabbing down the well.
You crazy motherfucker. Number five was The Witch. Because I have to have a soft spot for some mainstream horror, and I'm glad that a bunch of people went to the theater and got fucked up walking out of that thing. They were just like,
I wouldn't consider that mainstream horror, Danny.
I mean,
it got put in the mainstream, but I wouldn't consider that.
No, mainstream. That's like forcing like the mainstream hot top 10, you know, pop listening people to go to like a GWAR concert. Like it's hilarious to watch this happen.
I got you. Yeah,
That trailer sold that movie in a completely different light. That trailer got people into that movie, because if the trailer had been indicative of what the movie was like pacing-wise, no one except us would have went to see that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they all go, and the faces walking out of it. I haven't seen faces like that since The Exorcist: The Beginning. Not that it was a great film, but it made people walk out, and they were just like, you could tell they were filthy with Satan's jizz. I mean, that movie will soak you in it. It's horrible. It's just horrible. And that's what they were walking out of this one, just like, why did it do that? Why did it go that way? Oh, it's great.
Like me, I went to see it in the cinema with Baz, that does the podcast Under the Stairs with me, and my best mate Dave. And all three of us went to see that movie, and it finished, and we all walked back to the car, no one saying anything, and sat in the car, and I was like that fucking movie is amazing. Like actually amazing. And I talked to Baz, and I was like, Baz, what do you think? And Baz was like, I was totally, you know, loving it. And he really didn't like the ending of that movie. He thought it was too on the nose. He's like, maybe the ending kind of spoiled it for me. And I turned around to Dave, and I was like, Dave, what did you think? And he was like, fucking sucked. Absolutely hated it. Like, he's like that. If I'd known that movie was going to be like that beforehand, like slow, you know, a slow burn and all the rest, I wouldn't have fucking went. They just hated it. And so that goes to show, like, three people that are really good friends that all have similar interests in movies watched that movie and came out with three completely different impressions of what it was like. So, which is pretty fucking amazing. So, right, where are we? Number four.
My number four,
Mark,
is...
Mark, see, when you're doing something, like, risky in your life, as a description of it, do you call it, do you say that you're balling?
No, that's why I'm doing it every day. Every day. My number four is Train to Busan, which we've already talked about quite a bit. But props for being the movie that, like, every year I'm like, fuck zombie movies. And then there's one movie that I'm like, all right, not fuck zombie movies.
Agreed.
And this year was Train to Busan. Great action, surprising amount of like great acting and like genuine emotion. Great fucking movie. See it.
Russell C says there was one other person in the theater when he watched The Witch, and he walked out halfway through.
Oh my god!
Damn, son, you paid money.
I love that stuff. Right, let's do Smoke's number four. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Well, don't all jump at once.
I'm ready. I don't know. No one else is ready. I'm ready.
Number four.
Smoke's number four is the same as Mark's number four. It's Train to Busan.
Oh.
His one-liner is slightly racist. I am apologizing to Danny right up front. It says, even though all zombies rook alike. He's such a prick, man. He's such a fucking prick. Number four for me, I fucking love this movie. Like, totally love this movie. I tried to get Smoke to watch this movie. Smoke apparently thought Catsick Blues was better, and 31, which is wrong. It's this little art house horror movie called Eyes of My Mother. Mm-hmm. It's fucking amazing. I can see where I maybe went wrong with Smoke, because what I said to him was, it reminded me a lot of Martyrs. And Smoke took those words as, it's literal, better than Martyrs. Which I never said. I never said those words, Smoke. I said it reminded me. And he's like, that, well, how does it? It reminded me because it basically deals with psychological trauma and conditioning of a young lady, mutilation of people being held against their will. Almost this kind of idea of the archetype of this character's world being very much removed from what the real world is like. I thought it was beautifully shot in black and white, which somehow made it even creepier. I thought it was incredibly gory and daring. There isn't a whole hell of a lot of dialogue in the movie. There are large parts of the movie which are basically silent. But it has my full attention. I think it's absolutely fucking wonderful. And any other year, this would have topped my list. Like, seriously topped my list. I think this is like a first-time director. Their first movie. And they did this movie. And that's fucking incredible. I highly recommend, if you've not seen, get on your list. Eyes of My Mother, number four from Duncan, Mr. Undead.
God damn, your top three must be amazing.
It pretty much is. I'm not gonna lie.
You're
probably gonna hate it. Like, everyone's gonna hate my top three, but I love it.
So. I don't know about that. Number four for me had probably one of the greatest villain performances of the year.
Ooh.
It's a little movie called Trash Fire.
Oh.
The grandma in that movie. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Never wanted to hurt an old lady. Never wanted to hurt an old lady before.
Oh, man.
That movie made me want to
turn a face. God, I love that movie. I wouldn't. After seeing Suburban Gothic, I thought he had lost his touch. I mean, and then I didn't have high hopes for Trash Fire. Then I watched it. I was like, holy shit. Yes, Trash Fire. Yes, do it.
So nice. Fucking good. So fucking good. It did make you wonder if Inception, that's not the right movie, Excision, Ricky Bates Jr. does Inception. it did make me wonder if Excision was a fluke. Like, when I saw Suburban Gothic, I was like, is this just like, did he just like do a fluke in this one? You see Trash Fire and you're like, no, you're that guy. You're that guy. Keep doing that movie. I will keep watching that movie. You just keep doing that. He's like a weird kind of... He's almost Lynchian. There's a weird kind of... A weird kind of quirky Lynch quality to his movies, which just fucking gets me.
It's like Toad Road, but done well.
That's good. That's good. That's a good...
I'm a bit trash fan. Right, someone needs to do the voice. Come on.
Danny!
That's it.
Number four for me was, and it's already been mentioned, The Wailing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have to put one of my on here somewhere high.
You really love this. You really love this. I remember we spoke about this. You really fucking loved this.
I did. I really liked The Wailing. It was so cool. It was so cool. I like The Wailing. You guys need to watch it. I'll be bitching and whining about this one for the next like 10 years instead of our point. Well, no, that's not true. Everyone needs to go watch Our Point. That's the number one movie of the year. Our Point. Go watch it. So good. So good.
Well, I really liked about like the Wailing is just really well written. You know what I mean? Because it is quirky.
Yeah.
And it's funny in bits, which, you know, should kind of lessen the impact. But it's just a really well told story. Like, you're like a proper ghost story. And you don't get many of them anymore.
No,
the ones we do get are just not told very well.
No.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I like it.
So let's free ball over to Mark Ball. I can say that, can I? I don't know what free balling means.
Free, yeah. So he's going to free ball.
I'm free. Free ball.
You don't wear underwear and your balls are just hanging in the wind. Slowly, with a thin layer of fabric between them and the world. My number three is Trash Fire. It's a lot like that. Yeah. That movie is fucking
great movie.
It's one of those movies where, like, if I did a 5 minute fancy on this movie, I don't know if I would fucking like this movie because it takes a little bit while. It's kind of like The Invitation, and the people are kind of dicks in it. Either they're like really dicks or they're like, oh my God, you're the fucking devil dicks. And if you're in a certain mood, that could be kind of fucking grating. But if you're like, if you go into it knowing this is kind of a fucking intense movie, it's good. You're going to be fucking floored. Trash Fire is goddamn great.
I can't disagree. Can't disagree at all. Number three for Smoke has already been mentioned by Mark, and it is The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
He says, I can't wait for this quote.
He's a one-liner's fucking amazing. Actually, I'm going to try and say it without laughing. He says, entire movie focusing on a hot chick that never talks. Oh, Smoke, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. You make me say horrible things. Number three for me was mentioned earlier on by Undead. It is about to get a release in the States almost 2 years after it did the festival run. In your country, it will be known as The Black Coat's Daughter. In my country, it's known as February.
Why are they changing the name?
I have no idea. February is a fucking great name.
Perfect for the movie.
The thing is, it has been released already. They're all the festival runs in America as February. So I don't understand at this stage why they're changing the name. I think it is fucking incredible. Emma Roberts is in it, which is the reason you should watch it, because she's not doing the whole Scream Queens, Scream 4 performance. She's like properly acting and she is incredible in it.
Very good.
It's just a great fucking movie that, like Undead said, like something which I think is pretty accurate. Like, if you are someone like me that really enjoys kind of artistic or art house horror, like 2016 was just everyone was doing something in that kind of genre. And there was a lot of them that were great. February was one that Undead told me about on our end of year list last year, as something to look out for. And it made its way to Netflix with no bells or whistles. It just appeared on Netflix. And I was like, I wonder if that's the one that Undead was talking about. I've watched it about 10 times. I think it is fucking, I think it's fucking incredible. And no one is still talking about, that's what confuses me. It's still not being talked about and it's going to get released under a different name. And I think that's just going to be wholly confusing for people that have been speaking about it to other people to track it down. They might not necessarily know that the name has changed for its US release, but February was number three for me. It's fucking amazing. Actually amazing. So there you go.
And I agree 100%. And if I watched it again, it probably would have moved higher on my list. I've only seen it the one time when I recommended it to you. Yeah. And my number three has been mentioned several times, which I didn't think anybody was going to mention, is The Wailing. I thought no one would like this movie. It's very quirky, very weird, mixing so many genres together, but God damn, it's a good movie.
I thought this was going to top your list. I'm really interested.
Really?
It tops your list now, yeah.
Yeah. It was, it's three. God damn, that's pretty top.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Right, someone has to do it. Come on,
Danny!
My number three.
He's looking on the internet.
Not my number three was The Neon Demon.
Boom!
Yeah, it reminds me of, what was the same one that ended up on our top 10 lists a couple years ago? It's very reminiscent of that one. What was
Starry Eyes.
God damn it, that's it. That is fucking it. That's what I was like, that's what it just kept like bringing into my mind. Not like the film itself. It's just for some reason, that's what was triggering off for some reason.
Sorry, Undead.
You go right ahead because I want you to say your piece and then I'll say
to me, Starry Eyes is a great concept and I think it handles the idea of how the film industry chews up actresses right. in a very similar way to how Neon Demon's message is how, you know, the industry chews up models. And they are very, very, very similar, even down to lighting and stuff like that, and even score as well. They're very, very similar. To me, Neon Demon is elevated because it's just in the hands of a much better director.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, there was all those parts of Starry Eyes that just was like, this could have been, I mean, this seems like an obvious cut and throw away, cut and throw yeah. away. But yeah, like you said, the concept, and I think that's why this one, I was like, man, this is a great idea. I'm like, I swear to, oh, that's right. That was that guy had that one, but it just, you know, it wasn't anywhere near as good as Neon Demon. Neon Demon was fucking great.
And I feel just the opposite of way.
You think?
I think all the heart and soul of Starry Eyes was taken out of Neon Demon because this is me. See, that's
what I think I liked. No, I know. I got you.
This, it's gorgeous. There's not a prettier movie shot this year, except for one. Oh, except for one. But that movie to me is just, oh, let's make this real pretty. Let's shoot over here and make this pretty. It just didn't feel, for me, it didn't have any heart. And I'm not, I know that's different for everybody else, but I mean, it make my top 20 easy. It just did not make my top 10 just because I didn't have feel the movie. I just said this beautiful to look at to me. I'll give it another watch and I may change my mind later, but right now it's just a pretty.
I know a lot of people that come down exactly with what you just said, Undead. I know, like, in fact, most people I've spoken to come down where you are on that. I do not. But most of the people I've spoken to are just like that. Yeah, it's
I love
very, very nice to look at, but there's nothing going on underneath the hood. Or bonnet, as we call it over here in the UK.
I'll give it another shot. I don't think it's a bad movie. I ain't going to say it's a piece of shit or anything, because it's definitely not.
Okay, anyway, let's go to
I know Mark forgets it's his turn to now speak up too. Yeah, Mark.
Two.
Danny.
What?
Danny's what?
What?
Danny just did Neon Demon.
What?
What?
Are you serious?
Danny's my turn?
Demon. Oh my
god. Remember you did the big elongated Danny.
Ah, shit. All right. My number two is the Neon Demon.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. This movie's fucking it's the best throwback Argento movie of the last 20 years, including Argento movies.
There you go.
Yep.
Right. Number two for Smoke has been mentioned by one person already on this show. It was not as high as this. It's the Greasy Strangler.
Oh, dear God.
Whoa.
Which this person saw for the first time, I believe, today. The one-liner goes, in the ranking of all-time cinematic importance, this goes right between Citizen Kane and Schindler's List.
Oh my god.
Smoke fucking loved this movie. I was getting drunk fucking messages from him. I'm assuming they were drunk. Because he was loving this movie. Just tell me how fucking hilarious this was. So yeah, he put it number two on his list. So there you go. What are you going to do with that?
So
number two for me on my list was originally number one for me until I started recording my show last week. And then on air, I rather spectacularly twisted it. You will know exactly what my number one is as soon as I tell you what my number two is. Number two for me is The Witch. Nice. I fucking loved The Witch. I thought it was completely mesmerizing. I thought it was a great example of how to tell a story. Like, just hands down. I thought the ideas that it toyed with religion, kind of toyed around with the idea of kind of what happens when people, almost like cabin fever, what happens when people are off the grid, left to their own devices, and how quickly paranoia sets in. I thought the little kids were creepy as fuck. I thought Black Phillip was arguably the greatest icon of the whole year. Like, all those Black Phillip memes just made me fucking happy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I fucking Black Phillip for President badges. I wanted one, or a t-shirt that said Black Phillip for President. I thought the attention to detail with the language, the fact that they spoke the actual tongue of people from that time, which was essentially like kind of ye olde English, was incredible. And I loved the end. I know some people, like I say, the Baz thought the ending was too on the nose. I love the fact that everything else in the movie relies on the idea of paranoia without substance. And the end of the movie gives you substance in a way which is beautiful and at the same time terrifying. The Witch for me was my number one movie until last week when it was overtaken by one more movie. If you've not seen The Witch yet, I don't know how you've not seen it, because
I somehow have not seen it yet.
It's topped almost every list I've seen.
That's why I didn't. That's why it was not on my list, is because I didn't get a chance to see it. And I feel like a jackass, but I put it off forever and ever for some reason. And yeah, I'll get to it.
It's not going anywhere, Mark. It's still there. You can check it out whenever you want. And everyone else should check it out as well, for that matter. Mr. Undead.
Spoiler alert.
Oh.
The Neon Demon is not number two for me. Number two for me is The Eyes of My Mother.
Oh,
nice.
This movie hits you over the head in a bathtub with a hammer. That's my jam right there. That's my jam.
One of the creepiest serial killers in a movie I've seen in a long fucking time.
Dude. How did you know that was a fucking serial killer? I mean, you walk into the house, you talking to him, you know that's a fucking serial killer. And yeah. That's fucked up.
It's and not spoiling anything, what happens to him is it makes American Mary look tame. It really fucking does. It shows you nothing, just makes it tame. I love that fucking movie. I think it's incredible. I can't wait to see what they go off and do next.
No doubt. And like you mentioned, the black and white is perfect. Absolutely perfect for that movie.
Nice, right.
And mine, number two, is The Monster.
What? One more.
What? We still?
It's number two. It's Danny's number two. You're supposed to say at this point, Mark.
Oh my god!
Traveling.
Oh my god! What the hell
are you fucking high, Mark?
So I got two more then.
Mark,
you got one.
Danny's.
Mark is making. Mark,
he's number two.
Mark must be making his list as we go. He's like, oh wait, I got two more to fill in. Shit, I didn't realize we were at this point. No, Mark, you're only going to have one more once I say my number two, which is The Monster. And now
I love The Monster.
The Monster
really liked it. It made my top 20. I thought it was fucking excellent.
It just missed my top 10.
I don't know. In most years, it wouldn't, but I don't know why. It's just because I guess I hadn't seen anything like this in a while, and it just kind of hit that childhood, bone that I really like that.
What's the one? I'm Not a Serial Killer. Both those two together are just.
Oh my God, yes.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yes.
This is what I would felt so guilty that they never. Like, they made my. Both movies made my top 20. But they just didn't. Once again, like I keep coming back to it. Such a strong year that any other year they would have been. I got a screener for The Monster, and I genuinely think it's like some of the acting in that, some of my favorite acting I've seen.
Oh yeah,
like a family dynamic is incredible.
And The Monster itself.
I do not like that director as well. That's the thing. I know a lot of people love The Strangers. I'm indifferent to that movie, and I did not like that Mockingbird movie he put out.
Mockingbird Lane?
Yeah, what was it? Was it Mockingbird? Remember the fan footage one?
Oh, yeah.
That was him as well, and I really didn't fucking like it. I thought the ending to that movie sucked dick.
Oh, I didn't
was not a fan of it, but this movie, like, you should be doing this sort of movie. Everything else,
cool.
Do this sort of movie, because you are really, really good at this.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the shit out of this film. Even with Scott Speedman, I enjoyed it.
It was good. Now, Mark, you can tell us your number one on your list without having to frantically try and rearrange everything to try and find another movie.
My number one is The Green Room.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
because Patrick Stewart is fucking terrifying. And this movie totally called it as far as the Nazi shit goes. That's like, this movie's fairly relevant at the moment. And,
Nazis are bad?
Yeah.
I got sort of.
No, the Nazis were bad.
I agree with you. That's a great movie. But to me, it's so fringe. I just.
You make the argument. It's not a horror movie.
And there's so many other good movies, and everybody's talking about The Green Room. So I kind of just left it off my list. Not because it ain't amazing. It's just kind of too fringe for me.
Well, I also like movies about like punk rock bands and
It's kind of
love it.
I told you, Mark, when I saw that movie, I was like, "That be prepared for this to be your favorite movie of the year."
Yep.
I fucking knew it as soon as I watched it. I was like, "This is going to be your favorite movie of the year." And FYI, on my list of movies that I do two separate lists. I do a top 20 horror movies, and I do a top 5 movies of the year. And in my top 5 movies of the year, number 1 on my list was The Green Room. I thought The Green Room was an incredible cinema experience. I've seen the movie a couple of times since. I think it's amazing. To me, it falls in the same category as Blue Ruin, which is his previous movie. Yes. And I don't think Blue Ruin made a lot of horror lists, and I didn't necessarily think when I sat down and went through all that it was a horror movie. But it is so subjective. You could easily make the argument, and I would not argue with you, that it's a horror movie because it's full of dread, tension, and the gore is fucking unreal in that movie. I mean, like, to the point where you feel the Stanley blade going up someone's stomach in that movie. It's fucking... I'm actually, my knees going thinking about it.
I like movies where people are like stuck in places and they're like kind of have to like barricade themselves. Yeah, like an Assault on Precinct 13 kind of aspect to it that I dug a lot. But yeah,
it's a great fucking movie.
Probably my favorite movie of the year. And this was a real strong year.
Yeah, definitely. Fucking great movie. Number 1 for Smoke. Anyone want to guess? Anyone?
Yoga Hosers. The Voices.
Nope. The Voices should be number 1. No. Believe it or not, every single one of us, I think, maybe minus Mark, I don't know if you said this one, every single one of us has actually mentioned this movie. Appeared really high. Smoke fucking loved this movie, and it's The Wailing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. I've not seen The Wailing yet. That was one of the other ones I fucked up.
And his one-liner for The Wailing, "You bastard, Smoke, I fucking hate you," he says, "A movie that's certainly better than whatever Duncan has at number 1.
Oh.
Wow.
And true, though.
Shots fired.
Oh,
that's wild. My number 1 movie of the year, you probably already guessed it, Neon Demon. It's Suspiria to me. It's like watching Suspiria. It's like... But I'll tell you, let me get into it.
Okay.
Let me get into it. Obvious things aside, like the Argento color scheme, the prominent use of a score in the movie to drive it through, to add tension in the bits and whatnot. But there is this weird kind of fairy tale-esque. I mean, like, if you watch Suspiria is basically like a Walt Disney movie on acid. Neon Demon's kind of the same. It's about a girl who is pure and innocent that comes to a place and is tempted by evil, so to speak, and is ultimately consumed in a way which, like, it wears its message very much on its sleeve and it's very on the nose, is ultimately consumed by the very evil that she is trying to rebel against or try to be different to, and how the whole industry of how Hollywood treats models is the consumption, the way it eats it, chews and spits it out. It's probably when you break down the factors in this movie, it's probably the most horror movie that came out this year because it has necrophilia and cannibalism in it.
Yeah, the necrophilia is crazy.
You know what I mean? There is a one shot. What I love about the movie is the one shots that we get in it. There's a one shot, like when, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a particular scene where our main character is at like a mansion house and she's being stopped by 3 women and she turns a corner and there is bright red Argento light behind the silhouette of a woman holding a giant fucking blade, and it is one of the best shots I think in horror cinema this year. I think the score for the movie is like jaw-dropping. I think the acting is incredible and it is mesmerizing. I cannot remember the last time a movie just consumed my thoughts after watching it. I've been thinking, I saw this movie on Halloween. This was my Halloween choice because that's when it was released in the UK, and have not went through a day where I've not thought about this movie. I don't even want to know how many times I've watched it. It's easily over 10. I am obsessed with the Neon Demon. I totally appreciate when people say that they don't necessarily think there's much going on in it, and it is shot very, I can completely see that. I think it's like a lot of art. I think what you're bringing to the table, you get back out in the movie, and for me, it works on a level that no other movie this year worked on. I think it's actually I think as reffing movies go and all, a lot of people are very much on the Drive is his best movie. I think Neon Demon's his best movie by some bit. I don't think he'll ever top this movie, actually. I don't think he'll ever top Neon Demon. I think it is the perfect I would say it's the one of the best fairy tale horror movies I've ever seen in my entire life. Fucking love it.
Wow, that's awesome.
Did you mention Keanu Reeves at any point?
I did not mention. I actually really liked Keanu Reeves in this movie, even though he plays
he's in this movie
fucking sleazebag. And there is a creepy as fuck scene with him with a knife in a woman's mouth, which scarily creeped me the fuck out. Yeah, I just think I don't know what it is about the movie, but like that movie finishes and my jaw is on the fucking floor. Like every time I've watched it, I just think it's fucking great. And I kind of see like when Mark's saying it's the, you know, it's like the best thing that Argento didn't direct in the last 20 years. I can kind of, he's obviously heavily influenced by Argento and he's very good friends with Argento. And he plays off a lot of that kind of Italian cinema. You can see it in the work he's doing. And it has a feel of a kind of very loosely, you could on some level say it's very loosely in the realm of a giallo. You could lump this one in with something like Blood and Black Lace, the idea of it being in the fashion industry. You could do that. And I think it would be a perfect, I actually think that'd be a great double bill, is watching Blood and Black Lace by Mario Bava and then jumping in and checking it a bit in Neon Demon. I can't guarantee that if Undead watches it, he'll enjoy it anymore, because I know people that have watched it a second time and they've enjoyed it less than the first time they watched it. So to me, it's just it's the mutts nuts, the hounds mounds, the badgers nadgers. It's the tits, man. Fucking love it.
That's great. Undead.
My number one movie, if you haven't guessed it already, it's the movie I saw three fucking times in the theater. Absolutely love Black Phillip.
Oh,
the
yes.
Fucking witch. Yeah. I mean, that's my wheelhouse right there. They checked every box I want when I go into the movie.
Yeah, right there. That's awesome. Yeah, and I can see that checking off on your list. That did cover all your bases.
So I'm satanic like that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I meant. That's what I meant by that. Because you're completely
Hail
satanic.
Satan!
Satan!
Satan's my pal. Satan's my friend.
Yeah.
I do love a bit of the witch.
The witch was good. Good movie. Good movie.
Oh, Danny boy!
My number one is The Eyes of My Mother.
Yes, Danny! I fucking want to high-five you right now and hug you.
I do too.
That movie was...
Was that your number one before or after we started doing this show?
Oh, this was always my number one. This movie is fucking amazing as balls. Yeah, dude, this is the tits, man.
I need to
this
see
is,
it, goddamn.
Listen, the Eyes of My Mother, and honestly, and if you go back and listen to past lists, this isn't the type to make my number one movie. It just doesn't, because it borders on that. But because I decided I was bored and ran out of Audible credits for a little while, I was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do The Girl on the Train. And that has opened my mind to be like, you know what? I'm going to start getting into shit that I don't normally get into. And I'm glad I did, because this goddamn movie is so fucking ridiculously goddamn crazy. I mean, it's like a Lifetime movie that got like jacked in the arm with like heroin. And it's, you know, it's got those elements of like, you know, I'm taking the baby, you know, I don't want to say all that, but you know what I mean? Like if I were to read it in the most basic terms, the synopsis, it would sound like a Lifetime movie. But yeah. Jesus Christ, can someone in the next time, you know, my wife and everyone that watches Lifetime, they need to have a big meeting at this channel and go, look, this movie, let's start getting edgier. Let's make our Lifetime movies more like this. Or let's have Lifetime After Dark. And it could be a whole new channel that shows more movies like this. Because I think everyone needs to watch like 24 hours a day of shit like this. Everyone will the human race will become extinct in no time. I mean, you put this and Martyrs on and you're done for. This is so depressing shit.
Yeah, I think that like when you're talking about, there's a one particular scene with the abduction of a child.
Oh my
God. And that worked on It's just so fucking. I think as well, if you've got a kid, you know, what I mean, if you are a parent, the feeling of helplessness that mother goes through, and then to be in the position that she's then left in,
for some time, and you know what? All of a sudden, like, see how I've been talking about all these movies on my list that make me think of others because of my ADHD that kicks in. This one starts making me think of Room, and I'm like, okay, we're on a really good track because Room was fucking amazing, and that's what kept this one just driving up my list. This is so fucking cool.
Russell Mark, you need to watch it, bitch. Since Dr. Dark was not here, he's guessing that his top five was at number five, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1. Mm-hmm. At number four, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. At number three, Twilight Eclipse. At number two, Twilight New Moon. And at number one, with a big fat bullet, Twilight.
I agree on that. DeAndre, you've been quiet all episode, and I don't really need your whole top 10, but what was your number one film of 2016?
My number one film of 2016 was the one that featured Dr. Dark plowing his tiny pussy dick into the ass of a shaven baboon.
What was the stuff with the pause there?
I love the pause.
Plowing his tiny pussy dick into the ass. Whatever it was. That's great. All right, well, that's awesome. So there it is. Feel free to keep sending us your top 10 lists. And when we post the episode up over in the Facebook group, you know, just comment right underneath it. Throw your top 10 list on there. You know, we'll still discuss them. We'll throw the spill your guts up.
Undead was 100% right with his message. Undead wrote a message maybe just over a week ago where he said that he could not wait for top 10s because was fairly sure that we would all come down with different ones, and he is 100% right. This is, I think, the first year since doing the Midnight Horror Show that every single one of us has had a different number one and two in our top tens.
Yeah, but if everyone pays attention, a lot of these all kept coming up on multiple lists. So if you haven't seen these, the ones that you haven't seen, go see them because they are worth watching.
So strong a year.
Fucking amazing year for horror, and it's going to get even better this year. Some of the titles already announced are fucking mind blowing.
It's great. I can't wait. I'm excited. All right, so we will be back next week. Topic TBD.
We'll come up with something.
We'll have something. Yeah, we'll have something ready to go next week. Thank you, everyone, for joining us live, whether you're in the chat room, the Facebook group, or just listening in on TuneIn, wherever you happen to be. Thank you. And we are here every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. It's tmhsradio.com or TMHS Radio, all one word, on the TuneIn app that you can get on your little smarty phones. And go over to iTunes, subscribe, download it there when they do come out once every 5 weeks. And give us some stars. Throw some stars our way, and we would love you for it. And there's about 100 other things I was supposed to mention, but my God, we're way over. This is the longest show we've done, and forever.
That's because I'm here.
I know. See, it's amazing. We're going back to our days of doing 3-hour shows.
Well, that's because my 11 minutes I talk is all in here.
Yeah, see, what? No.
Smoke just wants to confirm that when you said that the next week's topic was to be TBD, he's put instead of TBC. He says, does that stand for Taiwanese big dicks?
I mean, it does when you're posting on your search sites and everything, but no, that means to be determined on the show. The show that's not as seedy as clearly Smoke is. All right, so we'll be back next week. Everyone, thank you again for joining us. Peace out, motherfuckers.
Bye. Goodbye.